Sokala Duma Radio.
With the season over and the transfer window picking up steam, we decided to bring you a bit of a preview to the silly season. In this transfer special, we take a look at some of the biggest potential transfers in South Africa and abroad, with special guest appearances from Sokala Duma journalists and editors. We'll also get you excited ahead of the 2018 FIFA World Cup by looking at some of the favourites as well as the dark horses at the tournament. Enjoy the show.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Hi everyone, it's Eddie Martinuzzi here, one of the editors at Sokala Duma. With me is Masebe Kina. We're discussing the transfer market today. All the happenings that will be happening in the PSL in the upcoming window. Well, it's already started happening. Sebe?
Yeah, the transfer window is in full swing. Yeah, clubs are already starting to strengthen, you know. It's been a difficult season in the 2017-2018 season. There's a lot happening.
Masebe, it's always a great time of the year during the transfer window. The readers love it, the fans love it. Teams are looking to reinforce. Like you said, they don't want to find themselves in relegation. We both know that this time of the year, the fans are, they want to know what's happening at the clubs. Bolstering, reinforcing, players are going, players are coming, there's talk, there's speculation. There's negotiations behind the scenes that no one knows about. That's where we get involved and we dig into the stories. Yeah. The Siga Boza, what's going on behind the scenes, the gossip in the fraternity. Based on this week's edition of Sokala Duma, there was a comparison between Chiefs and Sundowns, pointing out the differences, the strengths and weaknesses in the different departments, defensively, midfield, and in the striking department. Based on that, and the links with all the various clubs, what do you think, where do you think Chiefs should reinforce?
Yeah, from what I have seen in the 2017-2018 season, we all know by now that Chiefs didn't win anything. It was their third season in a row without winning, which led to coach Steve Kombela losing his job. I think they should start with the defense, especially with all the rumors that they could be without their most experienced left back, Tsepo Masilela. We hear that he's leaving the club. That is yet to be confirmed, though, and by the club themselves. And also Sibusiso Khumalo, we hear he's also leaving the club. We know that we have been reporting on this. They are linked with AS Cape Town's Musa Lebusa, one of the players. We all know that he's a very good left back, has proven himself at Ajax. And Sifiso Hlandi at Wits, we have been told reliable by our sources, both at the club and close to the club, that he is on his last year of his contract, and he is willing to listen to offers. So that's one department that they need to strengthen on.
Masiba, you got a good point there. And looking at in this week's feature, Sundowns are ranked better statistically than Kaizer Chiefs at the left back position. Interesting what you say. Both Lebusa and Hlanti are on the last year of their respective contracts. Ike's in a bit of a predicament with this whole relegation battle they're looking to fight legally. Chances are, if they're on the NFD next season, they will sell Lebusa. I don't know if you recall, we broke the news towards the end of last year that he would be leaving, irrelevant of the relegation or not, with a purported 5 million rand transfer price on his signature. With Clanty and Lebusa, they're both two great options. They're both in the last year. It may come down to the clubs if they want to sell and at what price. So, you know, on that point, I'm going to jump right into it. Andile Jolly, probably the biggest talking point in this current transfer window. What we do know through our CS sources, we've been calling off the hook, speaking to everyone involved. We do know that Sundowns are leading the race. We do know that Pirates aren't completely out of it. They seem to be outsiders at this point in time. We do know that Chiefs are still in the race. We are aware that we revealed a few months ago that Chiefs and Sundowns had both offered the players' camp lucrative deals. What we do know is that they're busy negotiating behind the scenes, as they would. He would be a marquee signing for Chiefs. The fans would it will appease the fans.
I'm happy you are talking about appeasing the fans, because at the moment, right now, that's what Chiefs should focus on. I mean, Mr. Bobby Mutawong and his management team, they should aim to do everything to win back the trust of the fans, because we have seen towards the end of the season that Chiefs, fans were really showing their other side towards the management. I mean, if there's a player that Chiefs should break the bank for, it's Andy Lejali. Rightfully, like you said, very experienced box-to-box midfielder in the country, fresh from coming back from overseas. He needs to show South Africans that he still got it. That's the player they need. We all know that South African football fans love Andy Lejali a lot. It would do them a lot of good to do everything to sign Andy Lejali.
Good point, Masebe. If that does happen, with the link with Maluleka going to Sundowns, or at least wanted by Sundowns, that could open the door for that transfer, as reported in this week's edition of Soccer Laduma. There's two reasons I'm looking into here with George. Great player, and he adds a lot of fight in the middle of the park. Second reason is George Mbeki and George Maluleka have a good understanding both on and off the field. Could it be a way to bring out the best in both Georges, combining at Sundowns?
Yeah, maybe that's what they need. Maybe that's how the coach Pitso Mosimane is looking at it.
Change is good for footballers. You need to be challenged, and you need to change your environment. You become complacent often in the same environment. Change is very important. You see it around the world, this constant moving between clubs. And talking about that, Percy Tau, phenomenal player, he's exciting.
Wow.
He's a wonderful talent. There's talk of him going overseas. Percy Tau, like we mentioned to other players, in his last year of his contract coming up now. There's links all over the world, really, in the major leagues in the world. And Coach Pitso Mosimane has indicated that he believes he should be playing at a high level in Europe. And no one's arguing that. Is it time for him to go now? And the big question from my perspective is, what do the Lions want out of it? We know that Downs have got the financial muscle to hold on to the player and wait for their price. And they want big money for Percy Tau. If you look at world players all over the place, the big players, they can sell for big money. Could Dan's price tag scare off potential suitors? We have to admit that Percy Tau hasn't proved himself on a world stage yet. And the PSL isn't in the limelight of the big clubs in Europe. So my question is, will a big price tag scare guys off? We do know he's got the talent. Can the talent and the price tag match for him to move on?
Wow, Percy Tau, phenomenal player. Regarding Percy Tau and a possible move to a club overseas, I'm happy that he's got the blessings of Coach Pitso Mosimane. He has said it before that he would be very happy for him if he gets a very good deal overseas. From that regard, I don't think Sundowns will do anything to try and price him out of the market with an intention of maybe blocking a move for him. He's done all he had to do for the team. I'm not saying that they don't need him now. They still need him, but if a very good offer comes, I think they should consider. I think that's what is on their minds right now, that if a good offer does come, the president of Mamelodi Sundowns, Mr. Patrice Motsepe, we'll listen and maybe work something out for the young man to go and further his career abroad.
On that note, we revealed recently that they're looking at around 50 million rand for his signature. Overpriced or fair price?
Difficult to say, Eddie, but I would say it would depend on the club that's serious about signing him. Obviously, a small club from Scandinavian country, that would be too much. But for any other club that's very ambitious and is seeing Percy as an investment, I think that that would be a fair price.
Talking about fair prices and the money in the game, Karma Bilyat. Sundowns are at risk of losing possibly, arguably, the best player in the PSL, along with Percy Tau, give or take. He was a buy clause in his contract of over 30 million rand. They could lose him on a free now. As we revealed recently, Dance have tabled a new recent offer, a big money offer, of over 5 million per annum, with all the bonuses and everything included. Karma Bilyat. Does he chase the money now, or does he move? Dance on a predicament where they could lose him on a free, or they could up the ante and offer even more. What should the Sundowns do, and what should the player do?
Karma Bilyat has done everything he had to do at Sundowns. He has to move now. I mean, we are talking about a very talented player here. He's done everything. I remember last season when he won those awards, at the PSL Football of the Season and all that. What else really? Champions League, he has won. It's high time now. We must remember that he's not getting any younger. If he has to realize his dream of playing in Europe, it has to be now, nothing else.
Sibs, we know everyone in Wolf football has got a price. Let's see what Karma's price is, if he stays or goes. Having covered the aspects of who's could come and who could go from between Chiefs and Sundowns, very interesting. Let's look in a nutshell at the transfers that could happen this window. We've discussed Bilyat, Tau. We've discussed Jordan Oleka. Pirates have been active, nothing official yet, but they've been very active in the market. Do you want to run through the transfers that are happening at Pirates?
Oh yes. Pirates, yeah, they've been very busy, although they are yet to announce all the players officially. We know that Kuda Kwashe Mahachi, a very exciting player, arrived in the country to play for Sundowns, has been playing for Golden Arrows on loan. They've signed him at Pirates. We expect to see him playing for Pirates next season. Another player, Paseka Marco, did very well at Chipa. Another product of Sundowns youth teams, Adrian Mabaso, is also joining Orlando Pirates. And so is Meshack Mapanguli, who did very well for Black Leopards in their promotion winning campaign. Also linked with a lot of other top players, like outgoing Kaizer Chiefs goalkeeper Brilliant Kuzwayo and Vincent Pule from Pittsburgh Spurs. Tulan Sachwayo as well, we know they are still very keen on him, and Linda Mdambo from Chippa United.
That's interesting, and Matlaba and Makola also linked with an exit from Pirates. It seems that there's going to be a few changes carrying on from last season. Opa left last season, Makola, Matlaba, some of the old gods moving on, and new faces at Pirates and taking the team forward. Interesting time for the Buccaneers, a true giant of SA football.
Yeah, they are rebuilding under Micho and his Dengal team, and so far so good, because they have been commended for how the team played this past season.
And Sibs, with Matlaba and Makola being linked to the next, they've been linked to Bidvest Spitz in a possible swap deal with Tyson. We can expect a lot of changes at Bidvest Spitz. Not the best of seasons. After winning the season, they almost they were in a relegation battle for a stage. A number of players have been linked to the club already, and we can expect changes.
Yeah.
For me, the biggest names there outgoing are James Keane, who's joined SuperSport United. Tyson, who's been linked heavily with the Pirates. And obviously Sifiso Klanti, being linked to all of the big three.
Yes.
SuperSport, another team looking to reshuffle somewhat after a disappointing season. Mm-hmm. There's some James Keane, some firepower up front. What other challenges can you expect at SuperSport, Masebe?
SuperSport, we know that after a disappointing season they had, some of the players have been told already that their services will not be retained. Players like former Kaizer Chiefs defender Teofima Shamaite, expecting Nkata also not to be there next season. Like we said in the paper this week, Anthony Lafau has been linked with a return to the club from Sundowns. So yeah, those are some of the changes. SuperSport.
It seems to be an exciting transfer window. It's just started. It seems like we're in the full swing of it, like you said. I'm very excited for the transfer window. So are the fans, the readers. The numbers on the site are crazy. Guys are logging on all day. They want to know what's happening. Mm. There's no doubt that all the transfers are big. Andile Jali's name pops to everyone's head, as this Percy Tower, as this Karma Billiet, Brilliant Kuzwayo, the list goes on. It's exciting times for Mzansi and for the football fans in the country.
Oh yes, exciting times ahead. Can't wait to see all the teams joining Pirates and cheaper in terms of player movements, because those clubs at the moment are some of the busy clubs in terms of the transfers.
What I can say is that it's going to be an exciting window, and to our readers, log on to Soccer the Duma on a daily basis to check up for breaking news. The SEA crew is on top of it and will be investigating on a daily basis.
Hi, my name is David Kappel. I'm the international editor for Soccer La Duma, and I'm joined in studio by my colleague Kurt Buckerfield. How's it, Kurt?
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm good. Let's talk some transfers. You know, Kurt, what are sort of the biggest talking points in the transfer window right now, internationally speaking?
I think the biggest talking point right now is definitely Cristiano Ronaldo's situation at Real Madrid. We heard that he's feeling unsettled, possibly because he hasn't been given an improved contract. Apparently the club promised him one this season. He didn't get it. We all saw his reaction after the Champions League final. He kind of hinted that he's unhappy, unsettled, and it's since come out, the story's kind of snowballed, and it seems legit. He really does seem unhappy at Real Madrid, and it seems a big possibility that he could leave the club in this transfer window.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Let's talk some numbers here, because, you know, everybody's talking about the wages and everything, but not a lot of people actually know how much the player's earning. So when we look at Ronaldo, he's currently on a basic salary of 21 million euros. He wants to get close to where Neymar and Messi are. Neymar is currently on 36 million, I believe, and Messi's earning 46 million, so that's more than double of what Ronaldo's getting. So you can understand his frustration, because, I mean, they won 4 out of the last 5 Champions League titles, and he's the main man. He was again the top scorer in the Champions League. But where could he actually go, you know, if he leaves Real Madrid?
That's the thing. That's the big question. I think it would make sense for him to return to Manchester United. Or if Neymar is involved in the deal, if Real Madrid see Neymar as his replacement, the only other club I can see him then going to is PSG. But for me, that would be on Real Madrid's terms. And we all know Ronaldo is going to want to go where he wants to go, not have his future dictated to him. So it's a tricky situation for him. What's your take on that?
I actually think the PSG option is the most likely, because, you know, when you look at Ronaldo, everybody knows he's determined to win trophies, you know, Ballon d'Ors, individual awards. But also he's very close to the players that have won the most trophies in football right now. So if he goes to PSG, he can win 4 trophies every season there. You know, the league title, the cup, the league cup, the super cup. And he can actually, if he plays there for 4 seasons, that's like 16 trophies that he can wrap up easily, because there's hardly any competition. They have so much money. And then he could retire as the player with most trophies. And I think that's something that he's looking out for. But let's talk a bit about Neymar. Do you think, you know, he wanted to go to PSG because he wanted to be the main man there? Obviously, the Champions League is what they want to achieve. Do you think it's too early for him to leave, or should he make the next step to Real?
Yeah, well, as soon as he went to PSG, everybody was saying that this was kind of his gateway to get to Real Madrid. Obviously, he didn't want to move directly from Barcelona, obviously Real Madrid's rivals. So, who knows? For me, I think Neymar wants to go to Real Madrid. We've seen all the reports coming out of Brazil and out of France, in Spain, and I think those reports are there for a reason. There has to be something to it. And I think Neymar sees himself at Real Madrid, whether that's this season or next, or this coming season or the following season, that remains to be seen.
Yeah. I also think, you know, with Neymar, everything that comes out of his camp, you know, points into the direction, I want to go to Real Madrid. He is desperate for that move. It would obviously be one of the biggest moves in transfer history, yeah. Because already his move to PSG was a world record move with 220 million euros. When we look at, you know, Real Madrid, can they actually mount this massive package that they need to string together? I think they can, because they haven't spent a lot recently. You know, this Galacticos philosophy is sort of, Zidane has gone a bit quiet on it. Very successfully, you know, worked with a team that was there with the big
players. Anybody's youngsters through the academy, they were playing.
Yes, the likes of Asensio and Vasquez, he's done very well. But now looking, I think Perez, the president, who is, you know, the father behind this Galacticos idea, he's very keen on getting Neymar, also for, you know, marketing purposes, because if you buy Neymar, you basically buy the whole of Brazil.
Yes.
And I think they would be able to mount the package. It's rumored around 400 million, you know, transfer fee of around 250, and then Neymar's wages over a 4 or 5 year contract, plus, you know, you have to pay his agents a lot of money. But it's going to be interesting how it turns out. But let's focus on another Real Madrid player. You know, the star of the Champions League final with a man of a match performance, Gareth Bale. What do you think of his situation? He also immediately after the final said he needs to talk to his agent because he needs to speak play week in, week out.
Yeah, well, he was very honest after the Champions League final. He said that he felt he deserved to start the game. Of course he didn't, which frustrated him. He responded on the field with that amazing bicycle kick. Fantastic goal. So, I don't know, we've seen Bale seem unsettled also in recent months. He was on the bench, there was times where he wouldn't even warm up with the other substitutes. He just showed a lot of frustration. But the last 2 months, or the last 3 months of the season, he was excellent at Real Madrid, which has also led to many believing that they'll keep Bale, and maybe even rather let Ronaldo leave than Bale, because Bale is a couple of years younger. But for me, I think Bale maybe sees himself back in the Premier League. I think a return to England would be fantastic for him, especially after what he's achieved at Real Madrid, and especially after that final too.
No, I agree. I mean, what's more there to achieve for him? He's won, you know, the Champions League. That was his main reason why he wanted to go there. I compare his situation a bit to James Rodriguez, like a year ago.
Yes, yes.
Because he's a very, very talented player as well. And he's, every time he played for Real Madrid, whether it's starting 11 or coming off the bench, he scored goals, he assisted goals. And that's what we have seen with Bale when he is fit. You know, obviously his fitness struggles played a massive role in him not getting more game time. But I think a club like Manchester United would suit him. They have the money to buy him. They need someone, in my opinion, on the right wing where he can, you know, fill in perfectly. They've struggled a bit for goals or in creativity, and he would fit perfectly there. What's your take?
I think so too. And of course, I think it was at the start of this last season, Real Madrid played Manchester United in that friendly.
Yes.
And Mourinho said, if Bale's keen to come to United, my door's open. So I think it's definitely on the cards. Mourinho's spoken of his admiration for Bale before. So it makes perfect sense. And like you said, Manchester United are missing somebody on that right-hand side of attack. And Bale would suit that role perfectly.
Yeah, and so far they've invested in the defense. They brought in this youngster as a Valencia long-term replacement from Porto, Diego Dalot. And they brought in Freight, you know, in midfield, who I think will unleash Pogba. You know, Freight and Matic will be like the holding midfielders, and Pogba will move further forward, where we've seen his best performances this season. But let's also talk another club that has been very active in the transfer window already is Liverpool.
Yes, they've been sensational.
You know, they signed Fabinho out of nowhere. You know, 2 days after losing the Champions League final, boom, he was there.
Yeah.
Was that sort of a surprise for you?
I think it took everybody by surprise. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Fabinho was heavily linked with PSG, with Manchester United, and then all of a sudden Liverpool just announced the signing. Like, it took everybody by surprise, and it was a fantastic piece of business. I mean, We've seen him in the Champions League for Monaco. We've seen him in the French League as well, and he's a top player.
Strangely, he's not in the Brazil squad for the World Cup, which in fact is even better for Liverpool because now he has, you know, this
pre-season
off. He can rest properly, and we'll see how he will do. But I think he's a massive signing for them and a great replacement for Emre Can, who is leaving on the free transfer, most likely to Juventus.
Yes.
But apart from Fabinho, obviously, now it seems like the next big name is already on the cards for Liverpool. Fekir has been closely linked. Kurt, can you just bring us up to speed? What's the situation around him right now?
Well, at the moment, last night, on Thursday, it was reported that Fekir was set for a medical and it was very close. But today we saw Leon release a statement say that the deal isn't close, or it's not at least happening right now, which has frustrated fans. But there does seem to be a lot of speculation or reports coming from France and from England saying that the deal is likely to be done still.
Yeah.
Just not right now, I suppose.
No, if I can come in there, I think Lyon are one of the stock listed sites, like Borussia Dortmund, for example. And, you know, for their investors, they need to sort of release these sort of statements to make sure everybody knows, okay, he's still in our books, he's still our player.
Yes.
Right now, because obviously those big rumors of a player like him, I mean, he's been involved in over 40 goals for Lyon this season, he's been phenomenal. To lose him would obviously have an impact on Lyon's stock price. I still believe it's very close, it's going to happen, it would be another phenomenal addition for the Liverpool side. And, you know, just look at the three names that they have signed already, then with Fekir, Fabinho and Naby Keita as well.
It's basically a midfield overall.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys could possibly line up all in midfield with Fekir at 10, Keita and Fabinho just a bit deeper. That's great.
The prices sound a lot. But if you look at it from that point of view, what they're basically just spending the money that they got from Barcelona for Coutinho, you know, one by one, it comes around to the same amount. And I mean, that's just phenomenal business.
I think if in January you asked a Liverpool fan, would he take Fekir, Fabinho and Naby Keita for the money they're going to make of Coutinho, I think every Liverpool fan would have taken that. So phenomenal business.
No, definitely. All right, guys, that's a wrap from us on the transfer window so far. Lots of exciting news are happening. Make sure you come on Soccer La Duma's international section. We've got all the breaking news covered for you. And make sure you listen to the podcast regularly, because Kurt and I will appear here every now and then to bring you up to speed of what's happening. Kurt, you know, after sharing your views on the transfer window, there's obviously the World Cup is very, very close now. You can feel a bit, you know, the fever is coming. Everybody's getting excited. There's lots of interest on our website, you know, about the World Cup squads and everything. But if you look at, you know, the tournament schedule, who do you personally have down as favorites to go far in the tournament?
I think we can't ignore Brazil, France, Germany, Spain. I think those teams will be, I mean, my prediction would be that they would be the last four of the tournament, the semifinals. And I can just see one of those teams winning. I mean, we used to upsets. We see that every tournament. But I'm not going to go make a prediction on an upset there, because those teams are so strong. I just see those guys making it.
I completely agree. I actually did my World Cup draft yesterday with my predictions and everything. And strangely or coincidentally, it's those four that make the semifinals for me. You know, if you just look at Brazil, they were the first team to qualify. Neymar is fit again. He scored immediately after his 3 month injury layoff. They just look a lot more compact, you know, a better team than they were in 2014 when they got hammered by Germany in the semi-final. Of course, Germany as the defending champions, you know, with the massive amount of talent they have at their disposal. I mean, the biggest talking points on our website was when Sané was left out by Löw this week. They will be again there.
And that shows the strength of the team, being able to leave out Leroy Sané.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I think he would make insane. 31 of the 32 World Cup squads.
Absolutely. He would be a star man for every other team.
Spain similar, you know, you just look at their squad and you don't know you know, what to do with all the quality. Like, who do you field as the strongest 11? It's just,
you can't predict the starting 11, especially in midfield. I mean, the names that they have, it's unfair. It's really unfair.
It's crazy. And, you know, people might think, you know, they have done poorly at the 2014 World Cup. They've done poorly at the Euro. But if you look at this sort of new generation and the new coach, they seem to have gelled really nicely. They recently beat Argentina 6-1. They're unbeaten since the Euro tournament. They have to be among the final four.
I agree. And for me, what's key with Spain is Diego Costa finding some form for his country now. Because since then, since he's come into the team under the new manager, Spain have looked a different beast. I mean, with Costa up front, muscling defenders or pulling defenders, anything can happen. And that's been a major improvement. At 2014, at the World Cup and at the Euros, they didn't seem as dominant up front, and Costa can change that.
No, it's a very valid point, and then, you know, I just want to share an anecdote here with you guys. Costa was not playing in the first 6 months of the season. Alvaro Morata left Real Madrid because he wanted to come off the bench and start for Chelsea. That was his main reason, yes. Because he wanted to go to the World Cup.
Yes.
Now Costa, who hasn't played the first 6 months of the season, has overtaken Morata in the ranking in Spain's squad.
Yeah.
So that just shows you, you know, how much value the coach sees him in as a striker, as
yes.
a differential.
Yep.
But we also can't forget about France. I think similar to Germany and Spain, if you look at the names in their squad, you know, Griezmann, Pogba, Kante, you name them, you know, I think they have to go far as well.
I agree, and they have, you know, sometimes we look at teams like that with a bunch of big names, and sometimes they don't gel, but they have enough individual talent to take them far in the tournament. You know, an individual moment of brilliance from a Griezmann or a Pogba or Kylian Mbappe, something can happen, and that can be the difference. It's just their star names, and you'd have to see them going far.
No, 100%. And, you know, with these names as the favorites, I personally actually struggle to come up with some dark horses for this tournament. I don't know how you feel, if you have anybody in mind.
We discussed this earlier on, but for me, it'll probably be Portugal, Belgium, and I'm gonna go with an outsider. I think everybody's written them off, but I'm gonna go with Argentina.
Yeah.
Just because of my allegiance with Lionel Messi. But I think Argentina, if Messi turns up, I mean, we've seen it. They lost Sergio Romero to injury. Manuel Lanzini's just been announced today that he's out of the World Cup. But if Messi comes and he performs, who knows what can happen. I'm hoping.
It would be actually
I'm getting
quite
emotional.
It would be quite a surprise, you know, after being thumped 6-1 by Spain just
yeah.
a few months ahead of the World Cup
yeah.
and then, yeah. you know, lifting the tournament. I personally think that they don't have enough. If I look at the squad and compare them to the others that we mentioned, I don't think they have enough depth. You know, they look a bit like there's this famous image of a bodybuilder that goes around, you know, the bodybuilder
top
that has
heavy,
all
yeah.
the muscles up top, but his leg muscles are
yeah.
very, very thin.
Yeah.
And that's how I see Argentina. I mean, they left Mauro Icardi, the top scorer in Serie A, at home because they have so much quality up front. But when I look at the names in midfield and in defense, I don't think it's going to be enough.
I fully agree. Which it hurts me to admit, but I fully agree.
Another team that could surprise for me is maybe Portugal. You know, they won the Euro. That's why I always couldn't call them a dark horse. But they've done very well. They are not really convincingly playing, but getting the results they need. I think they drew all the games in the group stages, but they still ended up winning.
Yes.
Which shows, you know, they have this, you know, this winning gene. You know, they have Cristiano Ronaldo, who
yeah,
obviously is a serial winner.
Yeah.
He was injured in the final, but then he stood on the sidelines and was almost acting as a coach.
Yes.
And in addition to him, they also have a very, very talented squad, because they could also afford to leave players like Gomes, Semedo from Barcelona, and Renato Sanchez.
Nani was also left out,
yeah.
which was quite a surprise. I think since the Euros, actually, Portugal have improved, and I think there's a new generation of players there with Bernardo Silva, Gonzalo Guedes from PSG.
Yes, he's been phenomenal this season.
At Valencia. They have such a good crop of players coming through. Bruno Fernandes from Sporting Lisbon, a couple of players at Porto, William Carvalho, they've just got a very good team. William Carvalho, obviously, for Sporting, obviously. But yeah, no, they've got. I think they've improved, and who knows where that could take them.
And before we wrap it up, let's just look, you know, at the African teams, because, you know, on Sokola Duma, everybody's keen on how the African teams will perform, with Bafana Bafana, unfortunately, once again, not being there. If you look at the five African teams, you know, Egypt, they obviously are carried by Mohamed Salah. Then you have Senegal, you have Nigeria, who seem to be very strong this time around, Tunisia, and Morocco. And what's impressive with Morocco is, I think a lot of people don't have them on their card, but they actually went unbeaten through the final African qualifiers. They didn't concede a single goal. They are unbeaten in 17 games under Hervé Renard. You know, he was very closely linked with the Bafana job. So I think they have the potential to do well. But my personal favorite to go the furthest among the African teams is Senegal. We saw them in the Bafana group. They have a very strong squad, you know, very physical players, and obviously Sadio Mane is the standout name. Senegal are in a tricky group with Colombia, Poland, and Japan, but I think they have enough to make it through. But once they make it out of this group, they will likely face either Belgium or England, and that's when they need to show, you know, we are Africa, we can go far, because everybody in Africa, on our website, they all want to see an African team to go far. You know, everybody still remembers the heartbreak that Ghana experienced in 2010. Everybody still hates Luis Suarez for that handball. but we hope this time, you know, it will change, that one African team can go far. I don't know, Kurt, do you have any other team that you think can go far?
Well, if we're looking just at the African teams, I'm going with Nigeria simply based on their awesome Nike kit that they released.
But, okay, that's a valid point.
No, of course, and Senegal, like you said, I mean, Senegal have top players, and all of their players, well, most of their players play, you know, in Europe, in some of the biggest teams, with Mane, Cheikh Kouyaté, West Ham, so they have a very, very strong team.
Okay, Kurt, let's wrap it up there. I think we all know that Nigeria has already won the Kid World Cup. It's going to be interesting to see who will win the actual tournament. We hope for a lot of excitement, you know, no negative news, no hooliganism or racism. Again, make sure you come to our website, come into the international section. We have a specific World Cup section where you can find everything about the African teams. Kurt, I think we have an African watch.
Yes, we do.
And then we also have like a special focus on the Golden Boot contenders. So make sure you come to our website and just enjoy the tournament and get into the World Cup fever.
Sokola Duma Radio.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks to all of our guests from Sokola Duma for contributing, talking about the local and international transfers, as well as the World Cup. We hope you enjoyed the show, and thanks again for listening.
Sokola Duma Radio.
Sokola Duma Radio.